Good afternoon, everybody. We've been talking the last couple of days in honor of Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. Different aspects about what we're supposed to be thinking about at this time of year. And the reason why it's important to talk about this is because the Pasuk says in Sefer Yirmiyah, Tzion hi doresh ein la. The Navi bemoans the fact. He complains about the reality that people don't talk about Eretz Yisrael enough. And from here, the Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah on Daf Lamed, we learn that there is an expectation and there is an obligation that we will talk as often as possible about Inyani Eretz Yisrael and make sure that we are aware of how special a gift it is. In fact, we all know. You look at the very first place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to the first Jew. Who was the first Jew, as we know? Avraham Avinu by the Bris Bein HaBesarim. And what is that first conversation? What is the first time that God has a conversation with the first Jew in the world? What is it about? He tells him, Lech lecha me'artzecha mimoladetecha el ha'aretz asher areka. The introduction that Avraham Avinu has to his relationship with God is all about Eretz Yisrael. But it doesn't stop there. You go through Chumash and you will find that the first time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to any great leader of the Jewish people, it is the very same. We go after Avraham Avinu, the next great leader was Yitzchak Avinu. And what is the first time that God reveals himself to Yitzchak Avinu? We're told, Al teired mitzrayma, shchon ba'aretz, I want you to remain in this land. Do not leave Eretz Yisrael. Make sure you remain in the land of Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu, the very first time he encounters the Shechina is when he runs away from his house. V'hine Hashem nitzav alav, God is standing above him, and God appears to him in a dream, and he says, Ha'aretz asher ata shochev aleha lecha etenana ulezarecha, I will give it to your children. V'hashivosicha el ha'adama azos, you're going to run away, but I'm going to bring you back, and I promise that you will have a future in the land of Eretz Yisrael. Ki lo ezavcha ad asher asisi im dibarti lach, says the Pasuk, I will not forsake you until I make sure that I bring you back to Eretz Yisrael, and your family will prosper here, and you will have a successful life. Yet again, we find Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. You go then to Moshe Rabbeinu, obviously the most prominent leader of the Jewish people. Once again, the first time that he encounters the Shechina is by the burning bush, by the sneh. And once again, what does God say to him? Ra'o ra'isi es ani ami Yisrael asher b'mitzrayim. God says to him, I have seen the terrible suffering that has taken place with my people in Mitzrayim. Va'ered lahatzil miyad paro ulahalosar la'aretz ahi. God says, I am coming with you to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim and to bring them into the Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash El Makom HaKna'ani. It cannot be coincidental. It cannot be haphazard. It cannot be at random that every time God chooses to engage one of the great leaders of the Jewish people, the very first choice that he makes is to discuss an issue revolving around Eretz Yisrael. It is impossible that that is coincidental. There must be a very calculated and deliberate reason for that. And finally, you go to Yehoshua ben Nun. When Yehoshua ben Nun is taking over after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, we're told in the Pasuk, Moshe Avdi Meis, Moshe Rabbeinu, my servant, has passed away. Ve'ata, and God says to Yehoshua ben Nun, your job now is Kum Avoras Hayarden Hazeh. You have an obligation to now cross them over the Yarden. As we know, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed access into Eretz Yisrael. And God instructs him, you have to bring the people al ha'aretz asher anochi nosein lachem livnei Yisrael. I think it is a powerful statement of how prominent Eretz Yisrael is meant to be in our psyche, in our hashkafa, in our Torah, when you see that every leader that had their first engagement with the Ribono Shel Olam was always a thoughtful conversation about Eretz Yisrael and nothing else. And there were many other issues that could have been discussed. And there were many other aspects of Jewish life that God could have chosen to reveal himself to these great leaders about. But yet, he always focused the conversation on Eretz Yisrael. As we all know in Parsha Shelach, we read the story about the horribly egregious error that the Meraglim made. So they go to Eretz Yisrael, and they were expected to go there and to tour out Lasur Es Ha'aretz. They're supposed to look around and spy and see what they will find and give a report back to the Jewish people. And as we know, they come back, and the root of the issue, the foundation of the problem that happened, how did they get themselves into this horrible mistake, into this blunder? Well, says the Pasuk, what happened was, Vayim Asu Be'eretz Chemda. The problem was that they were displeased, that they felt in some way repulsed by this most delightful place. And that's where it all started, and that's where the punishment came, because it all starts, Vayim Asu Be'eretz Chemda. So much so that they come back, and they report back to the Jewish people, Vayotziu Dibas Haaretz Asher Taru Asa. They went and they tore out the land and they came back to give the report that they found. And they said, Haaretz Asher Avarnu Bala Surosa Eretz Ocheles Yoshvehai. There's something wrong with that land. And they were having major problems with what they saw in the land of Israel. And this is what they come back to report. Now, normally, as we know, the Isser of Lashon Hara, if you learn the Chafetz Chaim and you read through the Sefer, you'll find that the prohibition of Lashon Hara, as we know in this week's Parsha, Parsha's Metzora, is limited to when we speak about people. People, as we know, have sensitivities. People are very fragile. People are very delicate. You're going to go and speak about somebody else. You never know what the consequence is going to be. One has to be so careful about how we engage in speech with regard to other individuals. However, that usually is limited to somebody that has the ability to be aware of what was said about them. Somebody who's cognizant, someone who can at least internalize a message, a negative message that was said about them to another person. But where do we ever find there's a prohibition of Lashon Hara about an inanimate object, about something that has no way of understanding it, something that has no way of appreciating what was said about them? And yet you find here, the Gemara says clearly that this was a prohibition of Lashon Hara when it came to the Meraglim discussing what they found in Eretz Yisrael. Something very unusual. Why is that? And the answer, I believe, is because we know that the Gemara tells us that anyone who is kofer in the Shivcha Shel Eretz Yisrael, if you don't believe in the uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael, then it is as if you are a kofer batorah. It is as if you are a person who doesn't fully understand what the Torah is all about, because the Torah itself describes in so many places Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash, and the Torah speaks about its own affinity toward Eretz Yisrael. And you go and you choose to see the negative, you go and you choose to give a very different report than the Torah itself, that is considered to be something which is a highly egregious error. That is a tremendous mistake. And this is why you can be on the level of the leaders of the Dor Dea, of those who were traveling through the Midbar, of those people who stood at Har Sinai and accepted the Word of God. They were the only ones in all of history that had this very close encounter with God, and yet you can be punished as horribly as they were, because you don't start up with Eretz Yisrael. And that is what we learn from the story of the Meraglim. Rav Soloveitchik, my father, writes about a comment that he made, and I'll read to you what he says. V'chein hizkir Rabbeinu b'kesher l'chet ha-meraglim. Rav Soloveitchik was talking once about the chet ha-meraglim. Shekvar amad al kach ha-ramban b'pirusha ala Torah. The Ramban asks in Parsha Shlach, halo nishlachu lasur ba'aretz. Moshe Rabbeinu singles me out, shlach lecha, he tells a group of Jews, and these were the leaders of the community, to go to Eretz Yisrael and to give a report. So imagine, I call somebody up, I need shidduch information because my child is going out with a prospective spouse, and I want to know about the family. I expect you to give me an honest report. I want you to give me the real story. I want you to tell me whether or not there are major problems in the family, if there's psychiatric illness, if there's something that I need to be aware of. So what do you want from me, asked the Ramban. You send me as a spy. You want me to tell you whether or not we can be successful as a nation in Eretz Yisrael, and I come back and I tell you exactly what I saw. So the Ramban raises this question. Says Rav Soloveitchik, were they not asked to do that? V'chein asu, al pi ha'emes, they said the truth. V'imkein machet chatu bazeh. Why were they punished? What did they do wrong? V'amar bazeh Rabbeinu she'omim b'shem ha'netziv. Rav Soloveitchik said over in the name of the netziv, d'mikan haraya, that from this story of the Meraglim we learn, she'legabi Eretz Yisrael, when we talk about Eretz Yisrael, asur lahagid afilu es ha'emes. You're not even allowed to say the negative truth that you know is the truth about Eretz Yisrael. So you see, there are certain factions of the country there that maybe you don't agree with, and there are certain communities there that act in ways that are embarrassing for Orthodox Jews to be acting, and you wonder, how could it be? How can they bring themselves to do such things? You cannot even talk about it. Says of Soloveitchik, that's what it means, is an Isser to speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. Imhi Mara, if you see something negative there, it does not matter. You have no right to repeat it. And I think so often, we all look at the Jewish news websites, and they're talking every day about this horrible protest that closed down the city and closed down the country and is paralyzing the society there, and everybody's fighting and doing whatever they... This is the prohibition. That is exactly what is wrong. It doesn't matter how true it is. That is the prohibition of Lashon Hara on Eretz Yisrael, is to speak even the truth. But if it's the negative truth, we have an obligation to some way overlook it and to ignore it. Like sometimes when a person is in a relationship and you love the other party so much, you're willing to ignore certain idiosyncrasies that they have, certain detractors that they have that you know are wrong, but you're willing to live with it. You're willing to overlook it because you love the person more. And you're not going to go around and tell other people about all the deficiencies that you know about the person who you intimately love. It's between you and them. This is not something that you publicize. Says Rav Soloveitchik, the mistake of the Meraglim was not that they said a lie. They didn't say something that was not truthful. That would be Motzi Shemra. Motzi Shemra means you make up a lie about someone and you spread the lie. That's not what happened. They said the truth. And yet, by saying the truth, and it was a negative truth, they violated the Avera of Lashon Hara on Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara in the end of Maseches Ksubas talks a lot about Shivcha Shel Eretz Yisrael. And there, in the context of the Gemara, we are told on Daf Kuf Yud Beis that the great Amoraim used to do things in order to make sure that nobody would speak negatively about Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara there gives us two stories. Reb Chanina, who is one of the most prominent Amoraim, we're told, he would go around Eretz Yisrael, and any time he would walk down the street and see a pothole, any time he would see a rock in the middle of the street or a mound that somebody might trip on, Haya Misakno, he would go and take his rake or his shovel, and he would make sure to fill in the dirt, and he would take the stones away, and you would see him right in the middle of the public square doing this. And Rashi says, why did he feel it important? Such a prominent person, Reb Chanina, the Gadol Hador, would go and move things around and make sure to level out the street, no potholes, no places where people can fall. He said the reason why is because he loved Eretz Yisrael so much. But that's not a good enough reason. You can love someone so much, but there's a level that you're willing not to compromise your dignity. Says Rashi, the reason why he did it is because Kidei Shelo Yetze Shem Ra Al Derecheha. What's going to happen? Someone's going to trip. You're going to stub your toe, and the only memory you're going to have from Eretz Yisrael is, you know, I went to Eretz Yisrael, and I tripped, and the bus driver was nasty at me, and that's all you're going to come home saying. That this person cut you off when you were driving there, and that that person wouldn't let you into where you wanted to be, and that the Israeli was being very nasty to you. Says Reb Chanina, we cannot afford for people to have such a takeaway message from their experience here. And therefore, even if it means that I'm going to compromise my own dignity, and I'm going to bend down on the floor, and I'm going to cover over all the potholes, I'm willing to do it, because I don't want to risk that anybody will have a negative feeling about Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara then goes on to say that Rav Ami and Rav Asi, two of the very prominent Amoraim as well, used to make sure that every day when they were giving their public lectures, they would switch the location of the shiur, depending on when it was. If it was in the morning, they would have it in this part of the city. If it was in the late afternoon, they would have it in a different part of the city. Why? Because in the morning, the sun shines on one side. In the afternoon, it shines on the other side. We don't want anyone saying, I was too hot, I was too cold, Eretz Yisrael, the climate, it's not comfortable for me. Rav Ami and Rav Asi said, it is not going to be on my head that somebody's going to have a negative impression of what Eretz Yisrael is all about. And therefore, even though it was with tremendous tircha, and it was very annoying for them, they used to move everybody around from one place to the other in order to make sure that nobody would walk away with a negative impression of the great gift that Eretz Yisrael really is. We are supposed to have this feeling that Yehoshua and Kalev come back by the Chet HaMeraglim and they report to everybody, Tova Haaretz Me'od Me'od. The land is so incredibly beautiful. The land that we live in, the land that we aspire to live in, is so magnificent. It is a sublime experience. And that is what Yehoshua and Kalev, with all the negative impressions that they got also, they saw the same things that the other Meraglim saw, but all they reported back was, Tova Haaretz Me'od Me'od. I was talking to somebody yesterday who told me, a great tzaddik in Eretz Yisrael, he told me that he was there at the Levaya of Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And he said that the children of Reb Shlomo Zalman, he didn't tell me which ones, but he said he remembers that the children actually mentioned this at the public levaya that they had, hundreds of thousands of people. One of the children mentioned that they very often would hear their father in the middle of Birchas HaMazon, when he was in the middle of the bracha of Nodelecha, he would go back to the beginning of Nodelecha and start all over again. And the children asked him, why are you saying the bracha twice? It's not like you missed any words. You're sitting here looking in a bencher. You're pointing at every word inside of the bencher. Why do you feel that you have to go back? What was inadequate? And Rav Shlomo Zalman said, because we have an obligation, no delecha al ha'aretz, we have to thank the Ribono Shel Olam for the land. Rav Shlomo Zalman said, if I don't thank it with sincerity, if I don't really believe the words that I'm saying, maybe I wasn't yotze the benching. So I go back to the beginning of no delecha to make sure that I'm saying it with all my heart and with all the sincerity that I possibly can, and I really mean it. No delecha al ha'aretz, that this is something I really thank the Ribono Shel Olam for, because it's something that means so much to me. You look, the Rambam has a letter. It's quoted by some other contemporaries of the Rambam, where he says that the day that he came to Eretz Yisrael, He was so excited about that reality, he never thought that dream would come true. And the Rambam writes that on that occasion, he wrote down in his Pinkas, he wrote down a letter for all future generations that would come from his family, that they have an obligation on the day that he arrived in Eretz Yisrael, it should be like Purim. The Rambam says, for all future generations, for all of my descendants, this should be a day of simcha v'sason, a day where we rejoice, where we celebrate, and we give mishlach manos and matanos le'avyonim, exactly the description that we have of the Purim experience. Said the Rambam, this is worthy of the same excitement, this is worthy of the same kind of reaction and response, because the Rambam understood that Shivcha Shel Eretz Yisrael is so important. Like the Gemara tells us, to talk about the positive aspects of Eretz Yisrael and to walk away and have other people be under the impression that we always feel Tova Ha'aretz Me'od Me'od. As much as there might be negative there, as much as some things might not be exactly the way we want them to be, and decisions are made, and it's not exactly the decisions that we may have made. However, our obligation is to make sure that people understand and appreciate the incredible gift that Eretz Yisrael is, and that they will walk away with that sensitivity and that feeling that Tova Ha'aretz Me'od Me'od, never Vayim Asu Be'Eretz Chemda, never allowing others to feel a negative impression about how great Eretz Yisrael actually is and how wonderful it is that we have the great blessing of having a part in the building of Eretz Yisrael and in the return to Eretz Yisrael. V'sechazena Einenu B'Shuvcha L'Tzion B'Rachamim, like we daven every day, we should have that opportunity to all go back and to celebrate that ultimate Yeshua, that ultimate Geula HaAsida, as we daven with sincerity every single day. Rav Hanani Ben Akasha.